In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe we are looking at Lesson 80, the Resurrection of the Body. And the image shows the angels blowing the trumpet and the tombs opening up with the dead rising to life, coming up out of the tombs. The caption reads, "Belief in the resurrection is very consoling. It was this belief that gave the early Christians and martyrs such fortitude under persecutions. Firm in this belief, we should not mourn for our beloved dead excessively. But we would not, brethren, have you ignorant concerning those who are asleep, lest you should grieve, even as others who have no hope." From 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We shall see them again in the resurrection. We should remember the words of our Lord, who will raise us from the dead. Quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." From St. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Okay. First question, what is meant by the resurrection of the body? By the resurrection of the body is meant that at the end of the world, the bodies of all men will rise from the earth and be united again to their souls, never more to be separated. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall rise. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Our Lord often foretold the resurrection of the body. Quote, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life, but they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment." From St. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Our Lord said that the Blessed Sacrament gives immortality also to the body. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up." From St. John chapter 6, verse 55. Christ redeemed the whole man and not the soul alone. Hence, the body must, in the case of the just, rise to eternal life. The body of man was originally destined for immortality and lost it only with Adam's sin. Quote, "As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made to live." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Another quote, "He who raised up Jesus will raise up us also with Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. One more quote, "Our Lord Jesus will refashion the body of our lowliness," from the Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. The resurrection of the body is not an extraordinary idea. If we look about us in nature, we may see types of the resurrection of the body. In spring, flowers and trees wake up to new life after the death of winter. The seed, buried like a corpse in the ground, sprouts a living tree or bush. The body itself rises to new vigor after sleep, which is a type of death. Will our risen bodies be the same as those we had on earth? Yes, our risen bodies will be the same as those we had on earth. If our risen bodies were not those we had on earth, they would not be our bodies, and we would not be the same persons. It could not be said that there was a resurrection, nor that our bodies had risen. The words of Job are most consoling in the truth they contain. Quote, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall rise out of the earth." From Job chapter 19, verse 25. During life, the body is constantly changing, putting on new growth and throwing away waste in bone, muscle, and skin. Yet it is always the same body. So will it be in the resurrection. Whatever changes there are, they will not affect the sameness of the body we have on earth. In death, the body only sleeps, awaiting the last day. Our Lord himself said that Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus were asleep, although he knew they were dead. Our bodies will rise again, even though they will have been reduced to dust. Everything is possible to God. He who created angels and men and the whole universe out of nothing will certainly not find any difficulty in gathering together the elements of the body, even if they were scattered throughout the world, nor in giving them life once more. God has almighty power. Christ himself raised three persons from the dead according to Holy Scripture. At his resurrection, the bodies of many rose from the graves. Holy men and women have, in the name of Christ, brought back hundreds to life. Why will the bodies of the just rise? The bodies of the just will rise to share forever in the glory of their souls. Quote, "For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality." From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. The risen body will be radiant and beautiful if it is of a just person. It will have qualities of our Lord's risen body characterized by A. Impassibility. By this quality, the risen body will no longer be subject to pain, disease, death, hunger, thirst, fatigue, sleep, heat, or cold. Quote, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning nor crying." In the Apocalypse chapter 21, verse 4. B. Brightness. By this quality, the risen body will shine with great radiance and glory. Quote, "Then the just will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." From St. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. C. Agility. This quality will enable the risen body to pass with the quickness of thought to all parts of the universe. D. Subtlety or spirituality. This quality will enable the risen body to penetrate material substances, even as our Lord, who arose from the tomb and entered the cenacle while doors and windows were barred. Quote, "What is sown a natural body rises a spiritual body." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44. The risen body, united to the soul, will remain in heaven forever to glory in the presence of and in union with God. When we are disheartened by the miseries of this life, misfortunes, sickness, pains, and many other ills, including the difficulty of warding off sin, let us find consolation in the thought that our body, now so weak and imperfect, will, if we persevere in the love and service of God, someday rise in glory and stand continually in his presence. Quote, "If the earthly house in which we dwell be destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made by human hands, eternal in the heavens." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Has the body of any human person ever been raised from the dead and taken into heaven? By the special privilege of her assumption, the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, preserved from corruption, was raised from the dead and taken into heaven. Perhaps I'll pause here for just a minute to suggest that it is not a dogma that Mary died. It is a dogma that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, and that she never suffered any corruption. And I realize that there are many who hold a position that she died, but that her death is not actually part of the definition. And it seems more likely or more logical, from my perspective, to maintain that she did not die, but that because the dogma says she was preserved from corruption, I see death as the corruption, for death is the separation of the body and soul, and the body and soul were meant to be together, not separated. And so I believe that she was taken alive into heaven and had never suffered the consequences of death, because she never suffered the consequences of original sin. All right, so I'll just leave that there and we'll continue. Assumption in this sense means the taking up of the Blessed Virgin's body into heaven. Her assumption differs from Christ's ascension in that he went up to heaven body and soul by his own unaided power, whereas Our Lady was taken up by the power of God, not her own. The Church celebrates the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th. Okay, again, they made the comment, the assumption in this sense means the taking up of the Blessed Virgin's body into heaven. And I would say, no, it was not just her body, it was her body and soul. Just as Christ ascended into heaven body and soul, the Blessed Mother was taken up into heaven body and soul. It was not a dead body that was assumed into heaven, but the living person, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why will the bodies of the damned also rise? The bodies of the damned will also rise to share in the eternal punishment of their souls. The risen body of the wicked will be hideous and repulsive, a horror to behold. This should give pause to those whose chief thought on earth is to pamper and decorate their bodies. This life will last only a few decades, but in the resurrection there will be an eternity. Should we prefer to be painted and beautiful for these few decades and become an object of aversion for all eternity, or pay less attention to our body here on earth so as to attain glory forever? The risen bodies of the wicked, united to their souls, will remain condemned in hell forever. Their companions, other wicked souls and devils, followers of Satan. And in hell, the body as well as the soul will suffer torments such as we here on earth cannot even imagine. What will it profit those lost souls then that here they had luxuries and pleasures? And that concludes the reading of the lesson. Do you have any questions or comments? Okay, I paused there just a minute to speak of the assumption, and that was really, I guess, the only clarification I could see that needed to be made. Of course, I don't really know what other people are thinking about, what's crossing their minds, so that's why I leave it open for questions. But I realize that the assumption has become a very hot topic among some Catholics, one who would, I guess, prefer to argue. I don't really want to take that position that I like to argue, but I'm not one to back down from an argument either, and I looked into the doctrine just as Bishop Lewis did, and I see that, yes, the dogma says that the Blessed Mother was taken up into heaven, body and soul, without suffering the least corruption. And as I mentioned before, that says very clearly to me that she was taken alive. The dogma says nothing about death. It does say when she completed her life here on earth or something to that effect, but it does not mention death. And so I've told those who like to argue the other part, I says, you're fine, I don't care. You can believe that as long as you believe that the Blessed Mother is now in heaven, body and soul, that she is alive in heaven, I believe that's the whole point of the dogma. The rest of it, I think we can nitpick and argue forever, but I don't see really a positive reason for it, or to pick on these things. As they say, there are more important fish to fry. There are more important things that we need to deal with, especially in our day. There are no questions or comments. Let's see, we do have. Okay, we have a question here. Are babies still babies after they die? Are old people back into their 30s when they die? Just curious thing. Thanks. I don't believe there is a dogma stating definitively one way or another, but I know that there are several saints and church fathers who maintain that we will be at that prime of our life, whether that was in our 30s or 20s, I don't know, we can argue about that too, but what's the point? So I believe that the babies will reach that perfection, whatever station in life they were destined to reach, I believe they will be at that state in eternity, and likewise, those who have grown old will be restored to whatever state of perfection of their bodies they would have had, whatever age that might have been. Okay. We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.